This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Whom Do You Trust?
There is a basic ingredient to any human relationship, and that basic ingredient is trust. If you're married and you lose trust with your spouse, your marriage is hurting. If you have a friendship and you lose trust in that friend, your friendship is hurting. If there are leaders, a pastor, a mayor, a governor, a congressman, a president, and you lose trust in that leader, that person's leadership is hurting. And your trust in that leadership is gone. Whether it's in the government, or whether it's in the church, all of these connections and all of these relationships stand and fall with a degree of trust that people have in them. Polls are consistently showing that almost all the institutions that comprise American society today have a credibility problem. And these are institutions that were near and dear to our heart. Just think of what went on and what's been going on with the Veterans Administration. Think about how our veterans have been treated who are injured and maimed and going through a difficult time and all that the VA has been revealed. Think about the Internal Revenue Service. It was never really a much of a trusted institution to begin with. You pay taxes, you know why. But it's never really been an institution. But boy, has it become even more under a period of suspicion. And people just don't trust it at all anymore. And what about the National Security Agency, which we now have a perception is not just listening in on our enemies, but is listening on every phone call and every computer connection that people make, that the average citizen makes. At least that's the understanding and the perception that we have. And then let's think about this one with the current Ebola thing. You know, the Center for Disease Control, think about this. The Center for Disease Control, the CDC, 1 year ago was the most trusted of all government institutions in America. Americans put their trust in the CDC to keep us from any kind of an epidemic that may come along. Today, it has lost almost entirely the credibility of the country because of how the current Ebola crisis is being handled. And that only took 2 weeks to tumble. And then think of how many times you have seen the director of the CDC, Dr. Thomas Frieden, stand up before the American people and give a series of confusing explanations about how and what the CDC is doing to control Ebola. I mean, his confusing speeches and his confusing guidance has led him to have a huge credibility problem. This was a very respected man. It doesn't take much. But as trust in our leaders diminishes, fears rise. As we begin to lose trust in our leaders, our fears begin to rise up because we don't know who's running things. But the CDC's crisis is not isolated. Two-thirds of Americans polled believe the country is heading in the wrong direction. The Rasmussen poll reports that 80% of Americans don't trust the government to do the right thing. And 80% of millennials, that's the people 18 to 33, who are polled by Pew Research, say they don't believe people can be trusted. They don't even trust each other. It's kind of a scary thing. Generally, we as Americans have trusted in our institutions, the government, the school, the medical community, the church. But over the years, we have been hit by a series of events that have eroded our confidence and trust in those institutions. But over 3,000 years ago, God warned us about misplaced trust. Look what he says in Psalm 146 in verse 3. He said, "Put not your trust in princes." Princes are those in authority. Put not your trust in princes, those in authority, nor in the Son of Man. And that's a phrase that means human beings, people, and human institutions in whom there is no help. It seems inevitable that we people will inevitably let down you people. It seems inevitable that people will disappoint us, that we will disappoint others. It just seems to be part of the human condition. We have this perception in our head somehow or another that people in leadership have all the right answers and we can trust them to solve our collective and individual problems. One self-identified progressive guest on NBC's morning program, Joe Scarborough Show, asked the question about the White House. He asked the question, who's watching the store? Who's watching the store? Unfortunately, between the White House, Congress, and the courts, ordinary American people are scratching their head and asking the question, who's watching out for us? Who cares about us? Who's trying to protect us? And who can we trust? By putting our trust in the great ones of our nation, we may have stopped placing our trust in the great one above. Misplaced trust is not just an American phenomenon. It's a human hope and expectation. We want to trust other people. We want to put our trust in leadership. We want to put our trust in institutions. Throughout history, nations have relied on their military strength to protect them. Wars are fought under the, that was my Brooklyn, fort. Wars have been fought under the perception that my army is stronger than your army, that my army can conquer your army. But guess what? In a war, there's a winner and there's a loser. And both parties having gone into this war believing their army was stronger than the next army, one of them is going to be very disappointed in their army. It's inevitable. The losers trust in their strength, and their strength has let them down. The psalmist recognizes that military power and military prowess has limitations. Look at Psalm 44 and verse 6. I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. You say, well, what's that got to do with the swords and bows these days? Let me tell you something. Back in the day when this was written, swords, bows were state-of-the-art militarily. There was no way back in those days before armor to protect yourself from a sword or a bow except to defend yourself with your sword, your bow, or your shield. That was about it. So this was high-tech stuff. And so what they're basically saying is, I can't trust my high-tech stuff, my high-tech military stuff, to save me, to help me, to protect me. Think about it. We have multitude numbers of atomic weapons. We have the most sophisticated bombs and missiles. They can actually be fired from 10 miles away and find their way into an open window someplace 10 miles away. That's how powerful it is. But let me ask you a question. Do you think that any one of those can save us from a crazed terrorist with a bomb strapped on him who goes into a mall and decides to blow himself and 100 other people up? I don't think so. God is reminding and warning us that whatever we put our trust in apart from Him has serious limitations. Do you hear? Whatever we put our trust in apart from God has serious limitations. And God wants us to know that. He's not keeping this stuff a secret. He's not letting us know, you know, with some kind of cloak wrapped around it that, you know, hey, you think you're strong, you're going to find out you're weak. Hey, you think you got it all covered, you're going to find out you don't. You think you know it all, you're going to find out you... He's telling us you don't know it all. He's telling us you'll never be strong enough. He's telling us you'll never be rich enough. You'll never be able to stand completely on your own. There's too much going on out there. It's too complicated. The stock market has dropped like a rock over the past few weeks. It's estimated that over the last few weeks, American institutions have lost about $500 billion in paper value. $500 billion in just a couple of weeks. People's pensions and investments are tied to the market, trusting that while Social Security may not be there for them when they retire, at least your 401k or the IRA will. Many union pensions are invested in the market. So it's not just the 1% or the 5% or the rich who are being affected. It's ordinary Americans like teachers and government workers and others who have a pension, and those pension funds are invested in the stock market. They're all getting hurt. Psalm 49:6 says this, "Don't trust in our wealth and multitude of riches." In other words, it's wise to invest your money. It's wise to be a saver. It's wise to try to look forward to the future and try to protect yourself financially from it. But if that's all you're depending on for your security, you may find yourself very, very disappointed. Let me take you back to a very precious verse in the Bible. There are 31,173 verses in the Bible. 31,173 verses in the Bible. And this is the middle verse. You've heard me do this one before. But look what the middle verse says. And it really brings us to a whole, this whole issue and gives us perspective. Psalm 118 verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." In other words, where does your first investment of trust go? Your first investment and trust goes to the Lord. It is the foundation of everything else. Are you trusting the Lord today? Is He your primary stronghold? Is He the one in whom you are investing your trust? And saying pretty much, no matter what happens, God's never going to let me go. Your confidence in human nature and human institutions by definition must have limitations. But your trust in God can be absolute. He will not let you down. Jesus never fails. This was a Pentecostal church. You know how many amens I'd be hearing by now? I told you the story about preaching in a black church years ago. I don't remember if I did. Well, in that church, I was preaching what we call in Brethren on the level, just walking right there, and there's the first pew. So I'm down on the ground level, and there's the first pew. And I'm preaching, and I have the book in my hand, and these brothers are just amen and amen, and the whole row of deacons here, the bishops as they were called when I was going around in that church, and they were saying amen, amen, amen. And one brother in particular was just so dynamic and so forceful in his amens and praise the Lord with the preaching. And at one point I said something and he said, "Praise the Lord," and his dentures fell out. So what did Bob do? Got up to the dentures, handed it to him, gave it to him and said, "Praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord. I got your dentures back." When all our security strongholds begin to collapse around us, the believer has Jesus Christ as his or her hiding place. The believer has Christ to hide with, to hide in. A quiet place, a secure place. When chaos is flying all around in your head and fear is banging through the walls of your brain, where do you go? Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 says this, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." When you are fearful, when you're confused, when you're angry, when you're disillusioned, when you're distressed, God says, "Come into my refuge." Push out those voices that are out here bringing you confusion and fear, and push out those voices that bring fear and confusion out of your head. Push them out. And come inside to this safe, secret place that I've got only for the believer. It's secret from the world, but not a secret from you. Jesus is your hiding place. His word is your refuge. You can go to it. You can get consolation. You can get peace. You can get uplift. You can get encouragement. He's there for you. He's there for me. Isaiah 30 verse 7 says this, and it's an interesting emotional or psychological truth. It says it is a strength to sit still. You hear that? That runs contrary to life in America, even here in Delaware Township. My friends come from New York and say, "Oh, it's so quiet, so slow paced here." Slow paced? Go to ShopRite, find out. Ay, vez mir. What do you mean slow paced? I mean, everybody's on a treadmill. Everybody's running. We're all going, but nobody knows where. Everybody's on the phone talking to who about what. We're all in a rush. Our minds so filled with so much information, we can't sort it all out, and consequently, it becomes mass confusion. And Jesus said, come inside, sit still, see my time with you as a sanctuary built over you, a place of protection, a hedge of protection built around you. Push out all that stuff and begin to absorb my peace. I give to you, not as the world give I unto you, a peace that passes all understanding. Dwell on it, meditate it, know it to be true. When they were faced with a raging army to the back and a raging sea in front of them, the children of Israel were terrified. They knew disaster was coming. You remember Charlton Heston when he did that back in the Bible? They knew death was coming. They knew there was no place to go. They couldn't go back. The army of the Pharaoh was there. They knew they couldn't go forward. The Red Sea was there. They were doomed. And Moses stands up there and he raises his arms and listen to what he says in Exodus 14 and verse 13. He says, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Now, why can't you apply that to you today? Why can't you, when you feel your back's up against the wall, apply this? Why can't you, when you think you're facing the raging rivers of despair in your life and fear has filled you, why can't you claim that truth for yourself? And why won't you stand still a moment and give God a chance? Why do you think you can work this all out yourself? Let me tell you something. When I ask the question, whom do you trust this morning? Part of the answer is you can't even trust you. You can't even trust you to work this stuff out. When you're just plain tired of the struggle and fed up, weak in the face of sin, self, and Satan, Jesus is your safe, quiet resting place. This is a vital truth to share with our generation today. You know, the millennial group, the group called the millennials, they're the kids who are from age 18 to 33. This group of kids is the most unchurched generation in American history. You hear that? The most unchurched generation in American history. Only 36% of them consider themselves to be religious, according to Pew Research. 36, one-third of the 18 to 33-year-olds consider themselves to be unreligious. I'm sorry, to consider themselves to be religious at all. So that leaves two-thirds who consider themselves to be not religious. But this is an amazing statistic if you dig down in Pew Research. Listen to this. And this is why we have a voice to speak to these kids today. 36% consider themselves to be really religious, but 58% polls say that they are, quote, absolutely certain there is a God. Hello. They don't believe in organized religion. You don't believe in organized religion? Come here. We're very unorganized. But we've got the gospel to speak. We've got the love of Jesus Christ to share. We've got his hope. We've got his love. We've got his compassion. And we've got a passion to let you know about Jesus Christ this morning. The God of the Bible is not calling us to a denomination. I've never asked any of you to come into this church and become brethren. What Jesus is calling you to is a personal relationship with God through him. And that's our message. It's not about denomination. It's not about a church. It's not about an institution. It's about a relationship. And that story is compelling to anyone who listens. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw everyone to me. America's crises are coming at us fast and furious. But sometimes we have to learn a lesson the hard way. I think it's true that sometimes people won't look up until they're flat on their back. What do you think? Sometimes I don't think that people will look up to God until they're flat on their back. Someone said there's no atheists in the foxhole. And some atheists jumped up and said, that's not true. There's lots of atheists in the foxhole. And the military, I think, took a poll and found out, no, there's hardly any atheists in the foxhole. When push comes to shove, and the bullet's coming your way, I think the last thing you want to say is, God, help me. When written in Chinese, the word crisis is composed of two characters. One represents danger, and the other represents opportunity. Our nation continues to be warned that the incessant marginalizing and demonizing of all things spiritual has consequences. The more we push God out of our collective conscience, our collective public and private life, the more we leave our fellow citizens without hope. You take the most important ingredient for hope, and that's trust in God, and you yank it out of the culture's conscience. What are they left with? Just a big hole inside of them, where God wants to be. When we promise people that experts, government, organized religion, education, technology, science will solve all of our problems, and then we see these things, these institutions and people crumble before our very eyes through incompetence, neglect, arrogance, and lust for power, where do the people go then? As individuals and as a nation, America's many current crises have brought us to an intersection. One road points to the same dangerous downward trajectory we're on, away from God. And the other presents us with a road of opportunity to repent from our God-forsaking ways and come home to Him. William Penn, the first governor of Pennsylvania, wrote these words, "Those who will be governed by God, those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants." Those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. America has faced many crises in its almost 250-year history. And many of those fateful moments, a public leader has stepped forward in faith to bring hope and courage to the country. One of those great moments of crisis was World War II. I don't know what your feelings are about President Franklin Roosevelt, how you feel about him one way or another. But he galvanized this country by his courage and his many fireside chats and speeches. But then, one evening in June 1944, the president had big news to share with the country over the radio. Allied troops had invaded German-occupied Europe with the Normandy invasion, an event which became known as D-Day. After making the announcement on June 5, 1944, the president went to the radio again the next evening. And that time, he asked the nation to join him in prayer. And this was a prayer that he himself had written. I'd like to share some excerpts of President Franklin's prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation this day, have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. The road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. They will be sore and tired by night and day, without rest until the victory is won. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them into thy kingdom. As for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers to these brave overseas, help us to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee. In this hour of great sacrifice, give us strength, O Lord, and give us faith in thee. Nevertheless, thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen. Political correctness and a growing secular culture would make it impossible for us to hear a prayer like that prayed by a highly public leader today. What a sad commentary that is on our time. And what a great disservice that is to the American people who live without hope. because they live without God. George Washington said this, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." So much for separation of church and state in that regard. Our leaders called us to faith. As individuals and as a country, America has to choose in whom to trust. The believer answers with the words of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Tyranny, fear, hopelessness stand in our path. Which way will we go? And in whom will you trust? Amen. Lord, we would pray for our country today. It's not about a political party. It's not about a particular leader. It's about the whole thing. Lord, when we walk away from you, we've walked away from the source of trust and hope and peace. And Lord, we pray this day that you will touch the hearts of our political leaders, that you will touch the hearts of those who are influencing our minds. We know this is a tough prayer, but we also know that nothing is impossible with you. We know, Lord, there used to be such a thing as a pendulum which could swing in a different direction. And in some ways, Lord, maybe that's what we're praying for, a pendulum that would swing the other way back to you and back to the Bible. But Lord, we won't put trust in any man for that to happen. We know, Lord, that if it just continues to go downhill, that we have one hope that will never fail, and that is your coming back again. And you will make all things right. We pray your blessing, and we pray that we will continue to lift up our president, our vice president, and those members of Congress, and our governor, and those in Trenton, and those here in our own Delaware Township. Lord, you've told us to pray for them. And sometimes, Lord, we don't agree with the things they're doing, but we still have to pray. And so we would pray, Father, that you would bless America, that you would bless the other countries of the world. But we know that the only time that there will be peace in this world, when the Prince of Peace rules this world. And in that regard, we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.